morning. I'd like for you to take God's Word and go with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And we'll find verse number 7. A couple of weeks ago, we started looking together at this passage. And we look at this thought, exercise thyself unto godliness. Exercise thyself unto godliness. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We began to look last time at this passage, exercise thyself unto godliness. And just by way of review, the word exercise here means to train. And we talked about the fact that some train to be fit, while others train to fight. But as God's people, we're called to do both. Spiritually, we need to be fit, and we need to be ready to fight. We need to be ready to compete. We are in a spiritual conflict, and the devil is always working against us, and he never relents, ever. He is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Yes, and I want you to know that Satan does not like the fact that our church is embarking on a study to stir our hearts closer to the Lord and stir us out into our community to take the responsibility of sharing the gospel with lost people. He doesn't like that. The fact that we would have a missions conference with the desire, the prayer that God would stir again our hearts and move us toward a more active role in supporting and praying for our missionaries and expanding our missionary effort. The devil doesn't like that. He is going to work against us. If we want to reach our community with the gospel in our spring campaign and seek to bring souls to Christ, and we want to continue to run our Conquer Club and reach teenagers. I was talking to the football coach at St. Stephen's today, and I was naming some of the kids from that high school who come to our Wednesday night program. And I think he was a little surprised that we knew so many young men who have played football for him and have been in his program. And I was grateful that God has allowed us to have that influence. I think God allowed us to have some influence today that I believe God will use for us to go forward. And I thank the Lord for that. The devil doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. The words of that song, if he doesn't like it, he can sit on attack, come to my mind. Yeah. And one day the Lord's going to chain him up and cast him in the pit. And then after 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed. After Jesus has ruled and reigned for 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed. Now imagine this. After the Lord Jesus has reigned upon this earth for 1,000 years, the devil's going to be able to round up a bunch of rebels after all of that. That tells you something about the nature of mankind, doesn't it? When they have the Lord, the righteous judge, reigning over them, they're still going to rebel against him. And then, of course, the Lord will deal with them with just his breath, and they'll be gone. And then the great white throne judgment. But we're exercising ourselves because the devil is our enemy. And godliness is what we're exercising ourselves toward. It speaks of devotion towards God. And it does not imply that within us there is anything within us that is inherent in us that is holy. It means rather that God in us, that's what we're to pursue. The image of Christ being formed in us, the life of the Spirit of God, the life of the Christ manifest in us and through us. And we are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. That means that's our effort to train. And we looked at the profit of the exercise last time. The profit of it. And as we looked at it, we noted the context. Remember, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. You can exercise yourself unto something. In this case, it was, you know, old wives' fables. It was gossip. It was things that were ungodly because they were profane. And they were fables. They were not only ungodly, but they were untrue. They were pursuing things that were ungodly and untrue. And these are the things that rob us of our time and hinder our testimony. That was the context. Then we noted the comparison. He said, godly exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable. So the exercise into godliness is profitable, and we noticed what it was profitable to. Unto all things, verse 8. And then in all times, verse number 8, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So it's profitable unto all things, and it's profitable in all times, and it's profitable in all truthfulness. Verses 9 and 10, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. In other words, you can take it to the bank. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Why would we do that? Here's why. Because we trust in the living God and in what He said. And that's why we labor. And so we found in all truthfulness. So that was the profit of this exercise. Now we're moving on to the second thing. I hope you'll write it down, if you would. The pattern of this exercise. And I hope you're keeping up with this so you can have all of it. But the pattern of this exercise. Verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's the only verse we're going to look at tonight. Is verse number 12. And we're talking about the pattern of this exercise. Now he says, he begins here in verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth. How many of you are a youth? All right. Yes, good, Chuck. And we knew that Chuck was youthful. And that's great. Anybody else? Who is he writing this to? He's writing it to Timothy. Probably had Chuck in his mind too. But he's writing to Timothy. All right? Timothy is a pastor. Timothy, as far as we know, is a young man. We obviously understand that. All right? So he's saying, let no man despise thy youth. But not only is he writing it to Timothy, he's writing it to the church at Ephesus and all the churches in that region. And so all of those churches are not just made up of young people. They're made up of people of all ages. But especially in Timothy's situation as a pastor and as a young pastor, he could be looked down upon as a young man. And he might be more susceptible to some temptations in his youth. The Bible says, flee youthful lusts. But those of you who have lived any amount of time understand that the youthful lusts do not dissipate when you get older. They don't go away. They're there. Youthful attitudes. Youthful lusts. Youthful pride. It may ripen a little bit more with age, in fact. And so what we find here is that even though he is a young person, this also speaks to us that we are to be an example of the believers. But in Timothy's case, don't let any man despise you because of your youth, because you might be susceptible to these things. But the fact is, all of us are susceptible to those things. To despise means to hold you in contempt, to think evil of you, to think evil of you with legitimate cause. Now look, the world thinks evil of all of us. Jesus said it would. And you're going to be falsely accused and you're going to be hated by the world. And so that's not what Paul is speaking of here. He is speaking of with legitimate cause. Don't let there be something in your life that is a glaring sin or weakness or shortcoming or a part of your nature, a part of your personality, a part of your habits. That calls immediate attention to the fact that you're not an example. Don't let that happen. Let no man despise, hold you in contempt, think evil of you with legitimate cause. But be thou an example. That means a type or pattern. A type or pattern. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he said, ye were in samples to all that believed. You were in samples. The word literally has this picture. You remember the old typewriters? All of you remember the old typewriters. How many of you took typing in school? Right, you say typewriter today and no idea. In fact, the kids just do their thumbs now, right? It's amazing how quickly they can move those things. And if you're like me and you're trying to send a text message, you misspell the word about 800 times. And then the autocorrect gets it wrong, and that creates a whole other set of problems. But the typewriter, when you hit the key, it would cause a stroke upon the paper. And that impression, if you hit the letter T on the keyboard, then that thing would hit that paper. It would come against the paper. It would make an indention, an impression, and that ink would be left there. That's what a type is. That's what an ensample is. That's what Paul is saying here. Your life ought to be, it ought to be the pattern. Don't let anyone despise you, hold you in contempt, but be an example of the believers. Be a type. And that's what the church at Thessalonica was. And I believe that God wants churches to be examples for other churches and other pastors and other Christians. Will we be up to that challenge? I don't know. But this is what the Lord said. Now, we're looking at the pattern of the exercise. The pattern. And so we're going to find out what we need to work on. Notice what he says in verse 12. Be thou an example of the believers. Read the rest of this verse with me, would you please? Let's start again with, but be thou an example. Are you ready? But be thou an example of the believers in there it is. You know, when you go to the exercise room or the place wherever it is, you go. When you go and you work out on those machines, and there's a way you do it. And so here are our machines to work on. Right here. And the exercise, again, that's intentional, on purpose. And so the first one, the first muscle we have to work on is the tongue. Now the tongue can be used for good or it can cause great damage, right? The Bible said it's an unruly thing, set on fire of hell. The tongue can cause great damage, but the tongue can also build up. So he says, be thou an example of the believer in word. So here we're dealing with the pattern of our speech. The pattern of our speech in word. That is the words that we speak. Now think about your vocabulary. The words you speak. That's what he's talking about. But not only is he talking about the words that we speak, but he's talking about what we say. Both are very important. Choosing the right words and what we are saying, what we're talking about. He's comparing it, verse 7, to the old wives' fables, which are profane. So much of what we talk about, we shouldn't talk about. And we know we shouldn't talk about it, but we still talk about it. And we say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And the truth of the matter is, if we'll learn to exercise ourselves unto godliness, we'll learn to begin to choose our words more wisely, and we'll learn to say things that should be said and not say things that should not be said. And it's an exercise. The pattern of speech. And speech is contagious. It's contagious. You know, you get on something you shouldn't get on, and there's two or three people around, what are they going to start talking about? And you just start hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And after a while, you know, that thing just, it's like a fire, right? We talked the tongue, set on the fire of hell. And so that thing, just like a forest fire, takes over. And it starts burning people all over the place. The tongue. The words that we say. The words that we say. And what we say. It causes a great deal of damage. And all of us need to give heed to that. The pattern of speech. How about the pattern of conduct? He said, in conversation. That means our conduct, our behavior, the way we live. The pattern of our conduct. The pattern of love. He said, in charity. And we're praying the Lord would speak to our hearts from His Word. And Sunday morning we continue to look at this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. But to love, and love is an exercise of the will. It is not one of the emotion. The emotions may follow, the emotions may accompany, but oftentimes if we're going to love the way God loves, we're going to love irregardless of emotion. We're going to love not based on the worthiness of the one that we love. But we are to love based on the nature of the lover, and the lover is Jesus, and that love is to flow through us, and it is to extend to a world that needs God and to one another. The pattern of love, and our love is to be an example. This world is full of hatred and enmity, full of it. And a lot of Christians have got caught up with it. You know, the divisiveness in the political arena today. And so we are to love people. Now, love is not always mushy-mushy. No, it's not. Sometimes love is difficult. You have to say things that you don't really want to say. And today, if you believe the Bible, then they'll call you unloving, and they'll call what you say hate speech. But that's not true. Amen. Telling the truth is love, but we have to tell it in the right spirit, don't we? Full of grace and truth. So there's the pattern of speech, the pattern of conduct, the pattern of love, but then notice what he says, in spirit. Here's the pattern of spirit. What is he talking about with spirit? He's talking about our attitude. Our attitude. Literally, the word here means this, a breath of air. a breath of air. When God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, how did he give life to Adam? He breathed into him. How did God give life to the Scripture? He breathed. He inspired. That's what the word inspiration means, to breathe. God breathed upon those men. He inspired them to write the word that he wanted written. His word is inspired. And that's why his word gives life, because it is alive. It is a breath of fresh air. How many of you have ever met somebody and you said, that person is like a breath of fresh air? I mean, you get a bunch of old, you know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be ugly, but sourpusses together who just murmur and complain and couldn't be happy. As my dad said, if they won $1 million, they'd want to have it in tens and twenties and would complain if it wasn't. I mean, just find something to complain about no matter what. You ever met anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. They might be sitting next to you. But, I mean, you know, they look like they've been eating persimmons. Oh, and I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, but I can't stand living on this world, in this life. I mean, that's the way, that's the attitude that comes across. And that happens in churches, right? Yes? And Martha, busy woman, serving God, she needed a little bit of this, right? And not, I mean, the lots of us need it. Because, man, we can just get such a bitter, unhealthy, unthankful, complaining, murmuring, you know, attitude. A self-centered attitude, an arrogant attitude. But then there are people that can walk in the middle of that thing with the joy of the Lord and they're happy. I mean, man, I mean, they're just so happy to be here. They don't even know what to say. They got a smile from here to here. And I'm not by nature a smiley person. I wish I was, but I just get to thinking about things. And, you know, I need to smile more. I really do. But I'm not unhappy. But there's some people, you know, they're just smiling from ear to ear and they're happy and it's contagious. It just breaks out all over them. And we might say, that person is a breath of fresh air. Well, the world is watching us, right? And we need to work on our attitude. We need to work on our attitude and our spirit, and may God help us there. The pattern of spirit. Then there's a pattern of faith. The pattern of faith. Now, what he means by here in faith, of course, it means belief. But it carries with it the idea of hope. So we have belief. We have hope. Here's another thought that comes with this word, conviction. Here's another word that is used to define this word, faith. Persuasion. Persuasion. You remember the Bible says that Abraham, he was persuaded. God spoke to him. And God said, leave Ur of the Chaldees, go into a place that I'm going to show you. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He believed God, the Bible says in Genesis 15, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so Abraham began to develop a faith, and that faith began to grow, and that faith was persuasive in his life to cause him not to stumble at the promises of God, even in his old age. And when his body was physically dead, as far as his ability to have a child, and Sarah's womb physically would have been categorized as dead as far as ability to have a child, and yet they staggered not at the promises of God in unbelief. They believed God, and they were persuaded that God was able to do what he said he would do. They were persuaded of it. Why? Because they believed it. Because they hoped in it. Because they had conviction that God had spoken. And they were persuaded. And guess what persuaded people do? They persuade others. I think about Caleb. Caleb went over into the land. He was one of the 12 spies. Remember that? And they went into the land. 10 came back. No way we're going to be able to do that. I don't know what they were thinking. We're just not able to go in there. They'll eat our children up. There's no way, no way we're going to be able to get in the land. And Joshua and Caleb said, man, look at these clusters of grapes. And this is a land flowing with milk and honey. And oh yeah, there's some giants over there. But look at them. Look at them compared to God. And this is what he said. We are well able to go up. I like Caleb, don't you? He wasn't a Debbie Downer. I just don't see how we can do it, Moses. I mean, I know what you said. I know what God told you back there in the wilderness, but I just don't see how it can't be done. It's just not going to happen. And because the Debbie Downers had their way, an entire generation of people died in the wilderness. They fell short of the promises of God that were theirs. They had the power to go in and the power to prevail, but they said it can't be done. And you know, that kind of mentality, it's a hard mentality to combat, isn't it? I mean, it really is. I mean, there's a thought, a philosophy today, a mindset. Well, you know, we're living in the last days, and we're just trying to hold on until Jesus comes. You know, we're just trying to ease on into heaven. We've had our glory day. But it's, you know, it's almost gone. Well, wait a minute. God said he was with us always, even unto the end of the world. Did he not?
Yes.
Is the power of God diminished? Is the power of the gospel diminished? Has God lost any ability and power to do a mighty work among his people in a community if we'll preach the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
The Bible says it is the power of God. It is the power, the dynamite, explosive power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. I don't know if we can get our faith promise up or not. I don't even know if we can make budget. You see what I'm saying? Do we believe God? I'm asking you. Do we believe God? Then we have to be examples in faith. In faith. Hey, I'm preaching to me right now. You know I preach to me more than I preach to you. I don't beat God. The Word of God speaks to me. And look, we need to be people who are believing God, have hope, have conviction, and what comes out of our mouth is persuasive and positive faith in God, not Debbie Downer, we can't get it done today kind of talk that's going to discourage and dishearten people who want to serve the Lord. I'm not some pie-in-the-sky Norman Vincent Peale type of person. I'm talking about faith in the Word of God. Faith in the power of God. Be an example in faith. In faith. The pattern of faith. Here's the last one, the pattern of purity. It's hard to stay clean in a dirty world, is it not? The Bible says that Lot vexed his righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked, the filthy lifestyle. And I don't think he had an iPhone. I don't think he had a television or an email account. And his soul was vexed. Imagine how many more times our soul is vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. How are we going to stay clean? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Therefore, I've got to go to the exercise machine of the word. And I got to keep going again and again and again. And I can't live off tomorrow's victories because today's dangers are too great. I got to keep going. And I can't even live off an hour ago. I got to live off moment by moment, exercising myself unto godliness, to be a pattern of speech, the words I choose to come out of my mouth. And what I say, the pattern of conduct, the way I behave, the way I act, the decisions I make, the pattern of love, to love people when they're not lovely, to love people with no regard of what I may get in return, to love those I don't like, to love those who don't like me, to love. That's tough, isn't it? That's really tough. I can't do that. That's why I gotta go to exercise class. And what I find when I go to exercise class, I start pushing that love machine, trying to get that up, and I can't do it. The Holy Spirit living in me goes, whew. If I'll just put my hands on the machine, the Holy Spirit goes. The man said to Corrie Ten Boom, he was in the concentration camp where she had been carried to. He had mistreated her. His face was burned into her mind. And years later, when she gave us a talk and a speech, he came to her and he said, "Corrie, will you forgive me?" And extended his hand, and she didn't want to take it. All the memories. But she said, as I reached my hand to him, she said, "God's love filled my heart." And she said, "It was like water, liquid love flowing out of me to him from God." Exercise. The pattern of love. The pattern of the Spirit. My attitude. Oh my goodness. I got to guard against that. I can get in a bad way. You can get in a bad way. May God help us. The pattern of faith, believing, hoping with conviction and persuaded in our own heart and persuasive with our words. And the pattern of purity, to be clean, to go back again and again to the Word of God, to be cleansed. You know, when you get through exercising, you better take a shower or you're going to smell. You run in this world, you're going to smell. And we just have to keep going back for that cleansing. The pattern of this exercise.